This is the Tan Talk Radio Network.
Good morning. Welcome to Freedom Works, the Paul Molloy Show. I am Paul Molloy. We thank you so much for being with us, along with my buddy Big Ed Davis. It is Monday, March the 7th. Boy, oh boy, we are starting to look at the days as precious days. Are we not? With the way things are going all over the world right now, in particular in Eastern Europe. We are going to be talking in a few minutes with Wayne Cruz of the Competitive Enterprise Institute. Not about the Ukraine. We're going to talk about the regulatory battles between President Biden and former President Donald Trump. Now, Biden revoked Trump's executive order that provided closer scrutiny of regulatory agencies. Biden didn't like that, apparently. That was one of the first things he did. So we will talk with Wayne Cruz all about it. And NATO countries get the green light to send fighter jets to the Ukraine. Now think about that. Is that a good thing? Or is it a closer step to nuclear war if we send fighter jets? We're going to talk about this and other things with the proprietor of the Barber Pole, Andrew Ceresi, a little bit later in the show. Stay tuned for that. And do you want to be a success in life? Apparently, all you have to do is be agreeable. Be agreeable. We're going to talk about the latest research on being nice. So stay tuned for that. And in our ultimate top 10, hey, I think you'll like this one, the top 10 greatest television game shows. Boy, I remember a lot of them. Let's see if my favorites are on the list. By the way, Freedom Works, we are sponsored in part by Andrew's Master Barbershop, located in Dunedin, in the Overcash Plaza, that is on Overcash Drive, just north, State Road 580 Main Street. They're open Tuesday through Saturday. Call for your appointment first, guys. 727-733-3773. And you'll get the best haircut in Tampa Bay. Well, Ed, I knew it was going to happen. And over the weekend, I went over to 7-Eleven, and I saw $3.99, $4.
And then you blinked, and it was $4.25.
And I blinked, and it was $4.25. In fact, you just told me before we went on the air that if you go along the Gulf, a little bit closer to the water, you were saying it was
four. Yeah, they're always a little higher on the beach itself.
Yeah.
But they're just going through the roof everywhere. I mean, look at California's at $6 a gallon.
$6 a gallon,
and
yeah.
I had a question because you're a pretty smart guy. And,
Yes.
You know, and I'll never get a straight answer if I would ask this question in 24 hours. But these people that have their electric cars and they go to charge them. Now, some of them maybe have the wealth enough to go home and charge them via the sun by solar panels.
Really?
But the average common folk, like you and I, if we were to buy them, we would have to stop somewhere and charge. Which, if you hung a $100 bill on one, I wouldn't be able to find one.
I wouldn't either.
I still haven't tripped over one yet.
Exactly.
Now, when
right.
the price, when the price of oil goes up and gas goes up, does it cost more to charge your car?
Yes.
Okay, well,
yes, because we know the petroleum products are always involved.
Right, because you can't roll into 7-Eleven and say, where's your solar panels? Can I hook up my car?
Correct.
They're going to give you probably an extension cord by Bubba Wheat, who fused one together, and you stick in your car and wait a few hours and get a nap and a sandwich and stuff like that. And
all of these stars in their eyes, people that think somehow that, you know, solar-powered cars and homes are just around the corner. When you've got to be able to deal with what we've got right now, and everyone, of course, is now, you know, their eyes are opening up when we're spending $4 and $6 a gallon of gas. I mean, people are going, well, you know what? Maybe the climate change thing is going to take more of a backseat. Because right now, if I put $10 worth of 10 gallons worth of gas in my car, which won't even fill it up, I'm over $60, for God's sake. So no.
Yeah, I got a half a tank for $40.
Half a tank for $40.
Half a tank for $40.
Unbelievable. Unbelievable. It ain't doing Biden any good.
And then he
doesn't want to slow down the supply of energy from Russia because our prices will go up.
Well, right.
Guess what,
Joe? We're
going to
buy everything else from Russia, including vodka, fine chocolates, but we stop when, you know, we're going to boycott those. But when it comes to oil,
we'll buy it.
We'll take all you
hundreds
can give
of thousands
us, right?
of barrels
we
a
don't
day.
Want to be independent like 2-3 years ago, where we were pulling our own oil.
Exactly.
And we didn't care about what anybody else says.
Yeah.
And of course, people say, well, hey, you know, you keep saying, oh, start work on the pipeline again. That's not going to matter because nothing's flowing. But if you think, how much did gas shoot up just by a stroke of a pen by a dormant idiot that shot gas up, what, 20, 30 cents a gallon, poof, in a couple of weeks? Well, gee, think what it would do today. If he announced, we're going to restart that pipeline.
Exactly.
And we're going to start drilling at home again.
Correct. We're going to open up our oil reserves. We're going to allow fracking.
Yeah.
We're going to open up the Keystone Pipeline and the other pipeline that they talk about. You know, oil purchases are future
exactly.
purchases. They're based on future price.
Nothing has happened. Would you agree that nothing has happened to the supply line right now? Nothing. Has it? Anything happened? It's all about futures.
Yes, it is.
It's all about rumors and whatnot.
Yes, it is.
So all you have to do is do this and say, hey, we're going to start producing at home.
Yeah.
I might even give the guy some credit. Hell,
right.
I might even buy the dude lunch.
Oh, let's not go
overboard.
If
he just do something like that. I mean, can we just make sense for once in a while?
The pressure on him, first of all, to shut down the purchase of gas from Russia, which will in turn kick the pressure on him to start allowing. You know, the other thing is they use the argument that we've got all kinds of licenses that the energy companies are not taking advantage of. That was Jen Psaki's thing the other night. The truth is that when you issue licenses to drill, that doesn't mean you're going to find gas. And
right,
the
exactly.
Yeah, and the regulations that they put on these energy companies, even to get the licenses, just discourage them from wanting to probe. So you got all of that going against you right now.
You know, I bet you if you went up to half, more than half of these fat cats in Washington and complained about $4 gas or $5 gas, behind closed doors, they'd probably be asking each other, is that a lot?
They don't know. It wouldn't make any difference
to them. They probably have a company.
They don't even pump their own gas.
They got a company card.
They probably haven't
gotten
close to a gas pump in the last 20 years. They don't know what the price is. They don't have any taste for it. Well, anyway, like you said, did you know, by the way, that the all-time high nationwide for gas was July of 2008 when it went up, was up at $4.11? I didn't know that. So we are approaching the all-time high for an average over the whole country.
Who was president then? Who was vice president?
In July of 2008, it was George Bush and his buddy Dick Cheney, right? Because he was finishing his second term. Remember, he ran, and then in 2009, Obama became president, I believe. Am I right?
I thought it was the other way around.
Yeah, because Bush became president in 2000.
Yep.
Anyway, so oil surged to a 13-year high on Sunday. U.S. national average price is $4 and basically $4.07 a gallon across the country. Hey, by the way, Tampa Bay used to be lower than the average. It's like close to the average now. Have you noticed that?
Yeah.
Okay, enough about that. We're going to take our break. When we come back, we're going to talk about the little regulatory war between Biden and Trump with our buddy Wayne Cruz.
Oh, honey, honey, you are my candy girl, and you got me wanting you.
This is the Tantalk Radio Network.
Guys, a well-groomed appearance is the first thing people will notice about you after a stop at the best barbershop in Tampa Bay. Andrew's Master Barbershop in Dunedin is that very place, and they've specialized in the art of men's haircutting for decades. They're located in the Overcash Plaza, just north of State Road 580 Main Street on Overcash Drive. Andrew's Master Barbershop, open Tuesday through Saturday. Just call for your appointment, 727-733-3773. That's 727-733-3773. Andrew's Master Barbershop.
Caregivers find the support they need on Connecting Caregivers Radio with Linda Burhans, the gal who cares for the caregiver. Heard every Friday from 1 to 2 p.m., Linda and her caring and knowledgeable guests will bring you education, information, and resources, as well as a shoulder for caregivers. That's Connecting Caregivers Radio with Linda Burhans, the gal who cares for the caregiver, where you can find help and hope every Friday from 1 to 2 p.m. right here on the Tantalk Radio Network.
This is the Tantalk Radio Network.
I took my troubles down to Madam Ruth. You know that gypsy with the gold cap tooth. She's got a hat on 34th and...
Hey, we are back on a Monday, and delighted to have back an old buddy of ours, Wayne Cruz. He is a vice president of policy and senior fellow at the Competitive Enterprise Institute. We're going to talk a little bit about these regulations and its oversight. You know, the regulatory agencies, my God, everybody, we don't know the people that are in them, all the bureaucrats, but boy, when we think of regulatory agencies, kind of like thinking about those ambulance-chasing lawyers. So, Wayne, thanks for coming back. President Biden revoked all kinds of executive orders from Donald Trump that called for more oversight. Oversight of these agencies. Go ahead.
Yeah, thank you. Look, thank you so much for having me.
Sure.
I appreciate it. It's always great talking to you guys. I really appreciate your interest in this stuff. But yeah, look, we just hit on the spending side, we just hit a $30 trillion debt. And you've got trillion-dollar deficits as far as the eye can see. And you've talked to us enough to know that while we talk about the spending side of things, there's also the regulatory side of things that you just touched on. And at least with Trump, and you know, there are other things that we'll probably talk about on the show in the future with respect to lessons learned from the Trump agenda and how you can make it permanent. Because as soon as Trump came in, you might recall there was an order, it was his second week, requiring that for every significant rule that agencies added, they would have to get rid of at least two other rules.
Right.
The object of that was basically to freeze regulatory costs. For a time, he did that. You know, there were a lot of pro-deregulatory appointees. There was one point where when Mick Mulvaney was OMB director, he said the main focus of agencies is to streamline regulations. There was an executive reform effort. You had some great stuff from Elaine Chao at Transportation and GPI at the FCC, where you had these appointees who were very focused. And FCC is an independent agency. The president doesn't even control it. But you had these appointees who were in line with the notion of streamlining government. All of that is gone now under the Biden administration. I'm inventorying a little of it, and when we talk later about the new edition of 10,000 Commandments, we'll probably maybe go into even some more detail. But the one in, two out is obviously gone. That was ditched by Biden on the very first day. He also got rid of a procedure whereby Trump required agencies to set up portals for their so-called guidance documents. You know, we've talked about these before. These are the notices, bulletins, circulars, memoranda, administrative interpretations, all these ways that agencies can get around Congress and push things through, sometimes even without writing a notice and comment rule. And so we took to calling that regulatory dark matter. Well, no surprise, that's gone.
Yeah.
Okay. And other changes, when there's... You can look at the historical tables and see how much the federal government spends. It may drive you nuts, but you can at least look it up. You can't do that with regulation. We at least had, with the unified agenda under Trump, that this is where agencies publish their regulatory priorities. Not everything they're doing, but a lot of their priorities. And this useful along with just the annual rule counts. But with Trump, since he had the one in, two out, there was a completely new categorization added to the federal database, and it was right there in black and white. It would pull up on the computer when you would go into the OMB databases, and that word was deregulatory for a rule. Well, now when you go to that same database, that word deregulatory is gone. You cannot even find, and this is why I called Biden like the Edward Scissorhands of government disclosure. You can't even find the rules that Trump eliminated anymore on the OMB website. You can find them in historical records. You can, of course, get them in 10,000 Commandments, because I suspect this was probably going to happen.
Yeah.
that they were going to just remove this stuff, just wipe it off, you know, bleach, I guess.
Oh, wow.
Like Clinton's bleach, right?
Yeah, exactly.
The database. And you effectively just erase all memory of what Trump did. Now, you got to say, and you have to recognize too, that the president cannot eliminate regulations all by himself. You know, you got to have Congress to put in place measures to do those things. As Obama and Biden proved, presidents can only add regulations by themselves; they can't remove them by themselves.
Yeah,
that's sort of how it seems to go. But with Biden, the big change now is where Trump was the deregulatory guy, or at least streamline. He had plenty of his own additions to regulation, and I go through a lot of detail on that. He added a lot, too. But with Biden, you've heard him in practically every speech he gives. He did it again last week at the State of the Union. But a whole-of-government approach to two phrases in particular. One is equity, and the other is the climate crisis. And now everything that the federal government does is being mobilized around those two goals.
Yeah, God help us.
So, yeah, the Defense Department, I would usually think, oh, well, you know, when I'm tallying up these regulations, rules, I'm not going to count anything that's a DOD. And then, you know, I'm thinking last year we just signed a $750 billion defense bill, and the climate initiative is embedded in everything the DOD is doing.
Yeah.
You've seen a couple of times over the just in the last couple of months where the federal government, Biden's appointees, but also Biden himself said, you know what? The federal government is the biggest purchaser on the planet. So we're going to use our heft. Meanwhile, he says he's a capitalist, and he talks about competition, and he doesn't like competition without fairness. But meanwhile, he's accusing other companies of being monopolies. But meanwhile, he's saying we're going to use our force as the largest purchaser on Earth of over $500 billion a year to make companies comply and use green materials and institute equity policies and so forth. So it's a huge move by the largest government on planet Earth to just use its very presence as a kind of a black hole or a big center of gravity to tilt the entire marketplace, the entire economy, toward these notions of climate and equity and so forth.
Mm-hmm.
It's not even, you can't even tally up the burdens of regulations just by counting up the rules. You have to look at like how the entire economy is now being steered by the federal government.
Yeah. We're talking with Wayne Cruz.
But you know what I'm talking about.
Yes, indeed. We're talking with Wayne Cruz about, well, we're talking about all of the, talk about bureaucratic red tape. He's Vice President of Policy and Senior Fellow at the Competitive Enterprise Institute. Wayne, before you came on, we were talking about how energy companies are being discouraged from, you know, they get these leases to drill, and they got to go and find the, you know, sometimes they hit and sometimes they don't. But with all of the bureaucratic red tape, and you talk about the climate change and everything else going on that's factored into all of this, it discourages them from wanting to open and drill. And now more than ever, we need to become energy independent, as everybody's been talking about cutting off our energy supplies from Russia, and you know, opening up our own pipelines, et cetera. I mean, this is just kind of a perfect example of how we've put put ourselves in a box, right?
Yeah, I'm glad you mentioned that. I was thinking, you know, as I was watching all of the growth in government under the Coronavirus Act, Families First Coronavirus Act, the CARES Act, then the extensions of things like the rent moratorium that Trump did, and the new Biden American Rescue Plan, and then his attempts at Build Back Better. Look, we're all free traders. We can say, yeah, okay, if energy's cheaper from other countries, we need to have free trade, and we need to, you know, make it where it's cheapest. But you do have to make sure that at least in a reasonable sense, as you anticipate crises, because COVID is not going to, it was not the first, it was the third crisis, economic crisis and shock of the 21st century. These things are going to happen. So you have to decide, well, what's the federal government's role? And remember, you know, to a small L libertarian like me, the federal government, you know, I prefer it just pick a national bird and otherwise leave us alone.
Yes.
The main thing it does is protect, you know, its function is protection and defense. So you make a decision about what's the optimal amount of energy and independence, and you make sure that you do that. And but I'm glad you said it, because this brings me to the reminds me of the notion that I think before the next crisis hits, and we know it's going to happen, and we know, I don't believe in timescales or those cycles of history, but they've happened every 10 years. So, but what you see, and it's a bipartisan phenomenon, unfortunately, but what you see is that the politicians jump onto the crisis and they expand government, and it always ratchets one way, as Robert Higgs always points out, and it doesn't retreat once the crisis has gone away. We just had Mitch McConnell and the Republicans vote to approve a debt ceiling extension, not forcing Biden and the rest of the federal government to trim itself, but voted to approve a debt ceiling increase right in the wake of the American Rescue Plan and the bipartisan infrastructure, which is basically a cronyism plan, and with the rise, because it's not going away just because they renamed it, and the rise of Build Back Better, which I guess now is being referred to as something like Building a Better America, I think is the term. He didn't mention Build Back Better one time at the State of the Union.
Mm-hmm. So, you know, our minds.
I believe that was pushed back. Build a Better Bagel.
Oh, Build Back. Yes. Build Back a Better Bagel. Yeah, that's right. The four B's. Yes.
You need to keep the same, acronym. But look, when you talk about energy independence, I mean, think about that even more broadly. There needs to be a way we think, what do we do before the next crisis? I call it an abuse of crisis prevention act, is what I'm trying to. I hope that I can get Congress to enact, but that. It's only a coincidence, of course, that comes out as AOC Prevention Act. But we need an Abuse of Crisis Prevention Act to make sure that we enhance resilience of individuals and families, not the federal government. I want there to be intergenerational wealth in families and in businesses, not intergenerational debt that Washington is bringing.
Here's my question. Do you think Thomas Jefferson and James Madison and George Washington envisioned that people like us today would be talking about this when they were getting together to figure out our country? This is so far removed from what the intent was, which was a states' rights deal. And like you said, all they need to talk about in Washington is what should the national bird's motto be or something. That's it.
That's right. Yeah, they would say we should have stuck with George III, I think.
Yeah. I mean, this is, and so now we can barely, we can barely slog left or right.
Yeah.
You know, we are drowning in our own bureaucracy and federal regulatory issues. At least Donald That's Trump right. had some semblance as a businessman.
Well, that's right. I would just say, you know, I think it's a very discouraging time, but you don't lose hope in the longer term. You know, I joke sometimes that there will always be an America. It just won't be here. But,
yeah.
But you have to think about the way I like to think of it is if we can do something like where we do put the brakes on the regulatory state or require Congress to approve major rules or do an abuse of crisis prevention where you actually penalize legislators for the things that they've done over the past 2 years. If you can do that, most of the wealth is not created yet. Most of the jobs are not created yet. Most of the companies are not created yet. And if we can wall off the future from the administrative state, that'd be the most important thing we can do.
Indeed. Indeed. Well, Wayne, it's always a pleasure to talk with you, and we need people like you kind of safeguarding what's going on in Washington, especially these days when our eye is off the ball. Thank you so very much for coming on this morning.
You bet. Thank you guys for having me. Appreciate it. Take care.
Our pleasure. All right, Wayne Cruz, we are going to take our break. When we come back, NATO countries are get the green light to send fighter jets into the Ukraine. To send fighter jets to the Ukraine, is that a good thing or a closer step to nuclear war? We're going to talk about that, among other things, with the proprietor of the Barber Pole himself, Andrew Ceraci.
This is the Tantalk Radio Network.
Guys, a well-groomed appearance is the first thing people will notice about you after a stop at the best barbershop in Tampa Bay. Andrew's Master Barbershop in Dunedin is that very place, and they've specialized in the art of men's haircutting for decades. They're located in the Overcash Plaza, just north of State Road 580 Main Street on Overcash Drive. Andrew's Master Barbershop, open Tuesday through Saturday. Just call for your appointment, 727-733-3773. That's 727-733-3773. Andrew's Master Barbershop.
Hey, Tantalk listeners, Senior Voice America is here. Learn what's affecting Bay Area seniors. From political to financial and health to wealth, it's right here every Monday afternoon at 4 o'clock. Your host, political commentator Tim Rice, and financial expert Berkeley Badger will bring current, thought-provoking subject material while taking your calls. Senior Voice America Radio, 42 years of service to mature adults and a proud member of the Tantalk Radio Network.
This is the Tantalk Radio Network.
Hey, we are back. We are back for segment three of Freedom Works. By the way, Ukrainian President Zelensky is going to be named a recipient of the Ronald Reagan Freedom Award. Well, I'm sure that he would be delighted to come over and receive it, but right now he's a little bit busy.
Yeah, he'd trade that award for heat-seeking missile any day.
There you go. Yeah. Exactly right. Yeah. Exactly. Well put. But you know what a hero that guy is. What an inspiration. Yeah. I hope he survives.
Yeah.
I hope he survives.
We're in a tough spot. We really are. I mean, do we escalate the planet to
That's
help
exactly
these people
right.
out?
So now we're going to... Now NATO countries, NATO members, have a green light to send fighter jets as part of their military aid to support Ukraine. And Secretary of State, U.S. Secretary of State Anthony Blinken, talked about this yesterday. You know, he makes the rounds on the talk shows. He said that gets a green light, sending those fighter planes. He says, in fact, we're talking with our Polish friends right now about what we might be able to do to backfill their needs if, in fact, they choose to provide these fighter jets to the Ukrainians. What's Putin going to think about this if these fighter jets supplied by NATO go flying over the Polish border into
Ukraine?
Well, yeah, I was
going to say he's got his gun sights on Poland next.
I mean, does he need any kind of an excuse? Is he looking for an excuse to open up his little nuclear, take his little nuclear key and open up that cupboard?
You know, I had an offer for the Russian people. Look, you're not happy with your leader. Take him out. Get him out of office. We're not happy with ours. We'll get him out of office.
There you go.
We'll both start over again.
Now that would be a wonderful deal.
You know, we'll shake
we'll
hands, whatever. Exactly. And I want to clarify before you go to the two guys.
Sure.
The Obama oil prices were lower. They were highest during George Bush's exit. That's when George Bush decided, let's start drilling more at home, which caused gas prices to plummet after he left office. And then Obama's after a while said, nah, we don't need to drill at home.
Yeah.
And that's what shot them back up again.
Okay. So Bush made this
remember him saying, mm-hmm. we're going to start drilling at home. And within a week, we dropped like 15, 20 cents.
Memories. Well, we've got both of the Cerasi brothers with us, both Angelo and Andrew. And, you know, guys, I know we don't want to talk about the Ukrainian situation and fighter jets and all of that. It'd be nice to talk about some other things. But let's face it, it's dominating the news right now. And everybody's kind of worried, mainly because Putin is, we can't trust him. We don't know what he's going to do. Angelo, I mean, wouldn't it be nice if the Russian people themselves got enough info as to what is going on and somehow figured out a way to get rid of him?
That would be great, but he's pulled the plug on all the social media and all the news networks, and they're only hearing what he wants them to say.
Yeah, but, you know, I think the truth is getting through to a lot of them, and you know how they're not stupid people.
No.
They're not stupid people, and they've been used to getting some, you know, some stuff coming in. I think I would think, unless they're in the real hinterlands, they would understand what's going on.
Well, they've been protesting over there, and he's arresting them and,
yes,
you know, putting them behind bars.
Yeah.
I mean, he puts the fear of God into them, or the fear of Putin into them, and what choice do they have?
Andrew, I was reading over the weekend about how when we had the old Russian Empire, you know, with guys like Khrushchev and Brezhnev and all the way up to Gorbachev, they had a Politburo. They had a bureau of people that could actually rein in their premier. Now, Putin doesn't have that Politburo environment. He is actually one guy that has total control, which might be a very scary scenario. What do you think?
Well, Paul, you know, Russia should be afraid right now, because if I was the Ukraine and I was getting these fighter jets, I would have to hit Russia with them.
You mean just turn around and start going towards Moscow?
Right across there, send them right into Moscow.
With the fighter jets, huh?
Let's be real. Oh, yeah. Go drop a few bombs over there, get the people excited.
You know, one of the first things I would... Yeah, I do. One of the first things I would do, that convoy of how many miles? 20-mile convoy of Soviet artillery. It's just been sort of slogged down there. Why don't we take some of those jets and drop a few on them?
That's right. I mean, you know, if you're going to do it right.
Yeah.
Why keep the fight over there? If they got the planes, let's take them over there.
Yeah.
But, you know, what I'm busy doing today, Paul...
What are you doing?
I'm really not worried about the Ukraine. I stopped and got gas this morning. It was $4.14 a gallon.
Wow, yeah, $4.14.
So I ran across the street to Joann Fabrics, and I just drilled a hole in the roof of my car.
Yeah.
And I'm putting a mast on it, and I'm making 3 square sails and 1 main sail. So if you see a car going down 19...
I like it.
Like the Santa Maria, you know who it is.
We just got to get a little more wind power going on. Remember how Trump said? Trump used to say windmills is great when the wind's blowing. What happens to the electricity when it's calm?
Yeah. I mean, Paul, they really need to start hitting Russia. If they get these planes, they need to do a few drops over there and get the people right.
Well, then it starts the war, you know, the big one.
He's got to boil. Oh,
No. You know, Putin's not going to allow that.
It doesn't matter whether he allows it. All it takes is a couple to get through.
You're not dealing with a sensible man here.
I mean,
that's why you got to think like he does.
Have a planet.
You're talking with exactly. You're talking with a guy. It's like talking to the guy that's got a vest on with all kinds of nitroglycerin and grenades, and he's begging you to shoot him, you know, and you do, and you blow up the whole building and everybody in it.
Yeah.
I mean, we got that going on with this idiot.
Talking about a guy that is molded after Adolf Hitler. He was the same mentality. But you know, Paul, one thing...
He did himself in.
Yeah.
Hitler did himself in when he realized he was being surrounded and the Russians were coming for him.
He empowered himself. The thing is, John Kennedy, in 1962, stood up to Nikita Khrushchev. He had balls to do it. This guy has no balls, Biden, to stand up to him at all.
Yeah, well, Biden, we all agree Biden's a mediocrity, okay? He's the wrong guy at the wrong time. We don't have a guy that's take charge. He's leading from behind. He's sweeping up behind the elephants, okay? He's sweeping up behind the elephants.
And not only that,
not leading the parade.
He's catering to Putin who's representing the United States in Iran for purchasing oil. Do you believe that?
That's another thing that's going. I mean, the whole thing is
that
upside down.
Other news reporters are not reporting. And then another thing that I heard, and I don't know how true it is that the Russians are recruiting Syrian fighters to fight in Ukraine.
Really?
Yeah, that's another thing that has been on the thing. Now, I don't know how much proof there is, but if it's okay for Putin to, you know, recruit other people from another country
all right,
to
so,
fight in a war,
okay. So what do we?
Will not start a.
Okay, so what do we do? I mean, Andrew says, you know, we kind of do a gung-ho approach and aim a few planes towards Moscow, but we have to be very careful. Is there some way, I talked about this before, why not have some sort of a stealth group get in there and somehow figure out a way to do this guy Putin in?
You're right. That's what's got to happen. You got to have a covert action.
Yeah, a covert. Where maybe our hands won't be soiled directly.
Well, let's go back a few years with the whole Kennedy situation. What if we had proven back then that Russia took out Kennedy? Don't you think we would have retaliated?
Absolutely.
Well, don't you think the same thing would happen now if they found out if we sent somebody over there to knock and whack him or whatever? And it had U.S. ties. Don't you think they would retaliate?
Well, you know, the first thing we got to figure out, who's going to replace him? Then we can
exactly.
decide.
Exactly. I mean, we keep talking about what's fair is fair. This guy's not dealing in fair.
So
his life is on the line. If he doesn't pull this off, he's gone. And I'm not talking about out of office. I'm telling you, he'll get whacked.
Well, how do we deal with this guy?
Well, this is the old, but he's a monarch, right? He's a guy that is surrounded by yes men. It's no longer the Politburo that actually takes control. This guy has got everybody around him, you know, like, you know, his bodyguard is one of the top political people now in the country, his bodyguard.
Right. I say you try to find a way to cool this thing off. And in a few months or a year, you find a way diplomatically to get him out. But you've got to cool it off now.
He's not going to do anything diplomatically. His demands are that he wants the complete surrender of Ukraine. And how are you going to diplomatically say, okay, Ukraine, you give up, you surrender, you become part of the Russian Federation?
Yeah.
How do you explain to those people?
There could be areas that they may have to give up for the time being.
Like the eastern half of Ukraine?
There could be something to settle this thing down. Cooler heads prevail, and then a few months or a year or down the line, you try to get Putin out in another way.
Yeah.
But in the meantime, those people are going to be murdered.
That's right.
You know that.
Well, they're evacuating.
So would you rather sacrifice the lives of people, other human beings, because of this nut guy and give in to him?
I
here's the deal. We're trading one tragedy for a bigger one.
Right.
That's kind of where we are right now, Angelo. Andrew, do you agree? We would be trading one tragedy for a bigger one if we were to,
you know Paul,
take drastic action.
It's a war.
You know,
number one. And all is fair in war.
Love and war.
Okay? Like I say, you know, if you're going to fear this is going to happen, you're going to fear that's going to happen, you're going to fear this is going to happen, we aren't going nowhere in life. You either take care of business or you don't. You take the gamble.
Mm-hmm.
At this point, I would take the gamble.
Okay.
I would literally bomb the crap out of Moscow.
Fear well, me. There is some, you know, there is some, a lot of people say, do it first. You know, and I know, I'm not saying it. I'm just saying a lot of people say, do it first, because if you don't, he will.
Paul, one thing, though, you know, listening to both sides of what's happening here. Now, I understand that there were 11 biological labs in Ukraine that Putin hit.
Okay.
Did you hear anything about that?
I have not.
Neither
yeah, there were supposedly 11 biological labs
Putin hit. He's been busy hitting those nuclear facilities. That's three of them.
Right, and I understand that he hit 11 biological labs. Now, what are 11 biological labs doing in Ukraine?
Mm-hmm.
You know, there's a lot more to this than meets the eyes. we're looking at how this is going on and humanitarian. I want to know.
Yeah, I know.
What 11 biological labs were doing there.
Yeah, the Ukraine's.
Ukraine was a very corrupt country.
Yeah, exactly. Ukraine is.
Got in.
Ukraine is certainly far from being pure. There's no question about the corruption that has been going on in the Ukraine. There's no question about that. Having said that, he's still going in and killing innocent civilians, human beings, with what he's doing.
When an explosion goes off, people are going to get killed.
I know, yes.
You can't isolate everything. Come on, let's be real.
The last surviving member of the Nuremberg trials, there was he was saying the other day that what Putin is doing is a war crime. He's committing so many war crimes. It's unbelievable. This is the last surviving member.
The guy's still alive?
He's still alive.
How old is he? He must be over 100.
He's got to be in his 90s, late 90s.
Yeah.
At least.
Yeah. And what did he say about Putin?
He says Putin is committing so many war crimes right now. It is unbelievable.
Well, we all agree that. You know, I guess it's so frustrating when you're dealing with a man who you are afraid would push the nuclear button. Let's be honest.
Well,
how do you deal with him?
You deal with a guy that you don't know if he can push the button or not.
Mm-hmm.
Look what we got over here.
Okay. Well, ours can't find the button.
He can't find the button. I'm not worried about him.
I told you, I can see him pushing the button thinking it says room service on it.
Yeah, the only button he pushes is for the nurse to come in and help him with his toilet training deal, you know. That's the only button they give him.
Oh, by the way, guys, I paid $4.50 a gallon yesterday.
You did?
Yeah.
Well, we're catching up with you here in Tampa Bay. We're at 425, Ed, right?
Somewhere. Yeah, some spots at 425.
419.
And 419.
I guess my Corvette, it's up to almost $5 a gallon. My Corvette will be sitting in the garage.
Well, it already is, so don't worry about it.
Yeah, my God.
That's right.
Well, my two gentlemen, as always, it's a pleasure to talk with you. I wish that we had more optimistic things to talk about. Maybe next week. We will do so. But thank you so much for coming on, sharing your thoughts.
Oh, quite welcome. I appreciate it. Thank you so much.
Okay, Angelo and Andrew, we will talk again on Wednesday, my friend.
You got it, buddy. Have a good day.
All right, guys. Thanks.
You know, I saw something disturbing on Fox News last night. I try to be critical of both sides. Fox News ran a commercial that started out with the people of Ukraine needing money and donations and all that stuff. But this one said that it would help the Jewish families in crisis. Send your money and it surely will go to a Jewish family in crisis. I think I got a problem with that. Aren't they all in crisis? I mean, is it fair to single out? I don't know.
I do know what you're talking about because I watch Fox
News.
That
just did not feel right to me.
It's the same charity that for years has been on Fox News that talks about how they will find Jewish people, like in Russia in particular and other areas, and provide meals. And they show these pictures of these crying, weeping old Jewish women usually. You know, that seem not to be able to be comforted.
I just have this vision.
And I've always had a little bit of an uncomfortable feeling that I'm getting scammed a little bit.
I just have this feeling of some vision of somebody going up to some families in need, and there's the Jewish one.
Are you Jewish?
And they hand him all the food, and he looks over at the crying one and says, "No soup for you."
Yeah. No, it doesn't make a lot of sense. I agree. And the other thing is,
It couldn't be done over here, I can tell you that.
You know, how are you going to do that anyway right now? The whole thing looked a little uncomfortable. Anyway, let's take our final in a quick break. We will come back. And by the way, you want to be a success in life? How about just being agreeable? We're going to talk about the latest research on being nice.
Sunshine sky, and there's a reason why I'm feeling so high, must be the season. That love light shines all around us.
This is the Tantalk Radio Network.
Guys, a well-groomed appearance is the first thing people will notice about you after a stop at the best barbershop in Tampa Bay. Andrew's Master Barbershop in Dunedin is that very place, and they've specialized in the art of men's haircutting for decades. They're located in the Overcash Plaza, just north of State Road 580 Main Street on Overcash Drive. Andrew's Master Barbershop, open Tuesday through Saturday. Just call for your appointment, 727-733-3773. That's 727-733-3773. Andrew's Master Barbershop.
This is the Tantalk Radio Network.
Back for the final segment of Freedom Works, and here's the no kidding. We're opening the no kidding file here. To get ahead in life, the most successful person is a team player. New research reports having the personality trait agreeableness can improve your job performance and help you win in life. Well, no kidding. If you've ever gone to work anywhere in your entire life and you went in there disagreeing with the guy that runs the place and telling him, hey, you're doing it the wrong way.
You mean you can't?
You can if you don't mind, having a quick career there.
I've seen my share of those.
Well, of course. Of course. But let's face it. The agreeable guy is the one that ends up closest to the boss. Right. Then the rest of us all get jealous.
And gets rewarded with a job.
And marries the boss's daughter, right? And all that kind of stuff. So the author of this guy's name is Michael Wilmot. He's a professor or assistant professor of management at the University of Arkansas. Did the study, apparently, with some other people. They studied how personality affects job performance. And focusing especially on agreeableness. Several variables were taken into account: psychological health, physical health, personal relationships, leadership effectiveness, performance across both educational and organizational environments. I guess the point is just be nice and smile. You probably should be very careful about getting into the political world with everybody around the, it used to be around the water cooler. I don't know what it's around these days. You know, do you want to get into the politics and start talking this guy and that guy?
Yeah,
and,
nobody talks politics anymore. Are you kidding me?
Well, these days, if you talk politics, you're almost ready to have a fist fight. But anyway, agreeableness.
Well, the icebreaker is if you just say, let's go, Brandon. The ones that laugh, you can talk to. The ones that give a disgusted look and walk away, then you don't talk politics with them.
Yeah.
That kind of weeds them out.
I see. There was, I don't know why I'm thinking of this, but I am. There's this Ukrainian boxer woman. Did you see her on TV?
No.
How inspirational she was. She won a bout.
Oh.
It's a kickboxing or a regular boxing. And here's this Ukrainian woman, and she wanted to talk about Ukraine and her people and how her family was back home, and it was very touching. I'll say one thing about these Ukrainians. From what I can see on TV, they are amazingly strong.
I think there was a owner of a soccer team that's Ukrainian that sold the team and put and gave all the profits to Ukraine.
Good for him.
Something like that.
Yeah. Wow.
Well, I mean, when your country is about to be, you know, wiped off the planet, you know, basically.
Yeah. We just say
that's why I say you got to find a medium way to kind of cool this off for now.
Cooler heads need to prevail.
You might have to give up a little bit.
But, I agree
with
you.
And then maybe you could go back in a year or two, whatever, after this guy's.
We don't want nuclear war.
If there's nuclear
war, I don't care what we think of the guy that's crazy.
If there's nuclear war, everybody loses.
That's exactly it.
There are no winners in nuclear war. I'm sorry.
Nuclear war. None. All right, Ed. Let's do something that's a little bit more, let's say, light and bright, okay? These are the top 10 greatest TV game shows. You like game show set, you're interested.
Some of them can be stupid, but
well, of course they are. Yeah. Well, guess who did this? AARP. Yeah. They'll remember all the game shows. All of them.
I got to tell you real quickly, I think the best one of all time was always the Newlywed Game. Because the answers that came out of that just made you laugh.
Yeah. Bob Eubanks.
Yeah.
Yeah. I remember it. Okay. Here we go. Number 10. Number 10. Oh, goodness. What happened to number 10? You know what? I've only got...
You're leaving us hanging.
Oh, I'm sorry. Number 10 is the Match Game.
Okay. I remember that game.
I was reading this wrong, but... okay, anyway. It went from 1962 to 69, and then it came back. It went from 1973 to 1982.
Celebrities were on there. Like John Ritter was a guest on there.
Remember Gene Rayburn? He was he was the host. Gene Rayburn, they had guys like Charles Nelson Reilly, Richard Dawson, Brett Summers, Betty White were there. All right, number 9. What's My Line? That's an old one. Yeah. That goes back to 1950 with John Daly. It went all the way to 1967, and various folks would sit down there, and they would have some of the strangest jobs, you know.
Yeah.
They try to guess what they are. All right, number 8. Do you remember Pyramid?
Yeah.
Dick Clark?
Yeah, the $100,000 Pyramid or $10,000 or $20,000.
Mm-hmm.
That was one of the ones you could learn a lot off of, you know?
Yeah. Well, I guess it was a very popular. Number 7. Monty Hall's Let's Make a Deal. Remember Let's Make a Deal with Monty Hall?
Now, that was a goofy show.
It was a goofy. People were dressed in stupid, and he'd be in the audience doing that, right? Number 6. Hollywood Squares.
Oh, that was a great one.
That was funny.
Yeah.
Hollywood's Peter Marshall hosted
when they had when they had the right stars on it. Funny.
Paul Lynn was the funniest. Yeah. He was so funny. And that went from 1966 to 1981. All right. Number 5. Who Wants to Be a Millionaire? Made number 5. Remember that one?
Yeah.
It's still on. It started in 1998. It's
been Regis
on and
started
off and
that.
On and
didn't
off.
Regis do start that or something?
Yeah, Regis Philbin is exactly right. Mm-hmm. Yep. Number 4. Wheel of Fortune.
That's always going to be up there, of course.
Yeah. Wheel of Fortune. Yeah. Pat Sajak and Vanna White.
I think it's more Vanna White than the Wheel, to tell you the truth.
Yeah. They've had some issues recently with a couple of... contestants, they didn't say it exactly right. Yeah. Stuff like that.
There was one that was crazy.
Now, I got to be honest with you, Ed, I can't find the rest of my...
Come on.
But I do know what's number 1 because I remember it. But I also can tell you that I think... what was number 3 and 2? So we got 3, 2, and 1. Oh, boy. I got to remember what the other one... Oh, Truth
Price
or...
Price is Right's got to be in there, no?
Price is Right was in there.
Truth or Consequences? Right.
And I think maybe Truth or Consequences.
So what about mine?
Well, roll the drum. I know what's number 1.
I did that. Go ahead.
First of all, I want to ask you what you think is number 1.
I told you when I saw mine.
What?
I told you at the top of the show. You don't remember?
Tell me. You forget?
Yeah, I forgot.
You told me Jeopardy.
No, I did not. I said I'm third. Oh, okay. Oh, you talk about that. Okay.
Number 1. Number 1 is Jeopardy.
Okay.
Started in 1962, Art Fleming. Still popular.
Yeah.
Alex Trebek made it really popular.
Yeah.
Yes, indeed. Jeopardy. All right. Thanks so much for being with us.
I still think Newlyweds was there.
Well, maybe it was. I can't remember.
Yeah.
I can't remember. I'm getting old.
Can we know on Wednesday?
What?
Can we find out on Wednesday?
Yeah, I'll go back and look. Good. I'll go back. All right, thanks so much. We'll be back on Wednesday. Remember, freedom works.
Grab you deep inside and send you reeling where your love can hide.
WTAN, Clearwater.
FM 106.1.
WDCF, Dade City.
FM 102.3.
WZHR, Zephyr Hills.
FM 104.3.
Listen.
This is CBS News.